Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, episode 42. Jonathan Offray is the co-founder and CEO of Growth Hackers and Growth Academy that helps startups, SMBs, and entrepreneurs grow through inbound marketing and growth hacking. He has lived and worked in 7 countries, speaks 4 languages, and has done business with companies from 70-plus countries. Jonathan loves discovering new cultures and meeting new people. Jonathan Offray, what a great pleasure to have you here, right from Taiwan. Hi.
Hi, Hayut. Thanks for inviting me. I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, I really look forward to hearing all the stories that you have to tell us. I just shared with our audience what you have done until now, and I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
The past 2 years, I've been helping startups and small businesses grow. We help them with digital marketing, inbound marketing, and growth hacking. So we sit up with startups and we study about their target audience, their products, and then we understand the customers, the target audience, after we promote their products or we promote their services. And that's what we do.
That's great. And how did you get there? I know that you are actually, you lived in how many countries?
Taiwan is actually the 7th country I lived in. You probably hear my accent. I'm originally from France, but then I used to live in the US, in England, in Ireland, in Spain, and in Australia. I don't think I forget any countries. In all those countries, I had different experience usually with... I never worked in big corporates. I've always been interested by small businesses or startups. So I've always worked in like very small companies because I could feel that what I was doing there, I could actually see the importance of what I was doing. So if I'm not showing up one day, I can see that the company is not going well. Whereas if you work at Google or Apple, if you are not doing anything, it doesn't really matter for the company.
That's correct. And have you always been in growth hacking and marketing automation, or how did you start that?
No, I've not been in growth hacking or marketing automation before. What I was doing before was more like classic digital marketing. So it was really about social media and SEO mostly. And the thing is, I came to Taiwan a few years ago and I started to work with startups. And so, I mean, the shift between digital marketing and growth hacking is not that big. It's just you need to test faster. You need to iterate faster because that's the pace of startups. So I started growth hacking, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. And the thing is, at the time, I was working at just one startup. I was helping them with growth. And the thing is, at that time, a lot of other co-founders or startups went to see me and because they needed my service too. Because the thing is, in Taiwan, and not only in Taiwan, I found that a lot of startup founders, they are good with tech, they are engineers, but they don't have any idea about marketing or about growth. So the thing is, startups needed what I was doing for that startup. So the thing is, at the beginning, I was working more like as a consultant for many startups, but it was pretty hard to juggle between having a work at a startup plus being a consultant for others. So that's where I decided to create Growth Hackers, where I help with some co-founders, some freelancers. We help startups at scale, if you want.
So actually, you are an entrepreneur yourself, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Who would you consider to be your customers today? Who are those Taiwanese entrepreneurs?
So who are my customers? The thing is, Actually, your question is great because we pivoted when we created Growth Hackers pretty much after 2 months, because our goal at the beginning was to work with Taiwanese startups and to grow them internationally, to help them expand outside of Taiwan. But the thing is, we quickly found out that Taiwanese startups, most of them don't really want to grow internationally. Maybe they say they want, but they don't. They might want to grow in Asia, but not so much in Western countries. So actually, we kind of pivoted where we didn't only want to help Taiwanese startups. We wanted to help startups from all over the world. And now, most of our clients actually are from US, Canada, and Western Europe. Western Europe, I mean France, I mean UK, I mean Netherlands and Spain.
Yeah, it's the beautiful thing of globalization, right? On the internet, you don't need to be there.
Exactly. That's with digital marketing, growth hacking. I mean, you don't really need to be at some place because the action will be the same. The thing is, in Europe and in North America, that's the same problem, I would say, than in Asia. It's like there's not so many marketers who are interested by startups. So that's where we come in.
I guess you're doing growth hacking in order to find your customers?
To find our customers, we don't do so. I mean, we test new strategies, and usually if strategies work for us, we try to replicate them for our customers. But the thing is, we are pretty lucky. As soon as we launched and we pivoted, the thing is, our message is we help startups grow pretty much. And because it's not, we don't have that much competition, because either the big advertising or big consulting agencies, they want to work with big companies. They don't want to work with startups because there's not that much money. So the thing is, a lot of startups actually find us. A lot of businesses find us and they contact us first. So I would say we use growth hacking for some, like especially automation. We're going to automate a lot about a lot our social media, our email marketing and everything. But the thing is, the way we get customers, we get them a lot with inbound marketing. So we have this strategy where we create content and people find us through social media, through Google search engines, through LinkedIn. So a lot of most of our clients right now, as they find us, we don't even look for them really.
Yeah, so you have a lot of followers both in Twitter and LinkedIn. It was great to see. What are the customers looking for? Are they looking for growth hackers or growth hacking or something else?
I think growth hacking is really misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people like get confused with what growth hacking is. And I just want to say what I think it is. I think there's so many definitions on the internet.
I would love to hear that.
Some people say one thing, some other people say another thing. And the thing is, I find many entrepreneurs, they contact us, they're like, oh yeah, growth hacking is like a cheap marketing strategy where you get millions of customers. And no, that's not, I wish it was that easy, but it's not, that's not what it is. I mean, if it was that easy, I would just like open a new business every day, make millions of customers and sell it. That's not that easy. Growth hacking is, in my opinion, it's a process. It's more a process of, what's important in growth hacking, it's the word growth, not the word hacking. The word growth is important, and growth is really a process. And the process goes from, first of all, you need to know what you want to grow. You need to have to choose one or two metrics that you want to grow. Is it the number of sales? Is it the number of leads? Is it the traffic you have on your website? Is it the videos? If you are YouTube, is the number of videos? Is it the number of people who use your product? You need to choose one or two metric maximum, and then you have to focus on those. And the thing is, a lot of people don't even understand this first basic of choosing one metric. And they will be, oh, I ask them, oh, what's your traction or what's your growth? And they tell me, oh, I have, 20,000 fans on Facebook, or I have 20,000 people who like me on Instagram or anything. And ask them, so your growth goal is to have Instagram fans? And they're like, no, my growth goal is to make sales. So I'm like, so how many sales did you make through Instagram? And they tell me zero. So I'm like, okay, so then you don't have any growth, except if you want to become an Instagram influencer, then that makes sense to have followers. But if not, you should follow on your KPI, on your metric. And I think as then, once you have the metrics, then you have like a lot of strategies to grow those metrics. And that's where growth hacking comes in. You have data, you have design, you have customer experience, you have digital marketing. A lot of channels goes into it. And you also have product management. So like it's a lot of, I would say it's a cross-function job. There's so many things involved.
Wow. I love this answer, and I specifically love the thing you said that you have to choose one metric you want to grow. What would be your best advice to entrepreneurs about approaching their customers, about reaching their growth goals? What would be your best advice to entrepreneurs?
I would say it depends on what stage entrepreneurs are, but I would say like you need to talk to them. The thing is, you need to talk to happy customers, to have testimonials, to know what they like. But what you need the most to unhappy customers, why they don't like your product, because the unhappy customers, I've read that usually 96% of the people who stop purchasing or stop using your product will never tell you why. So you want to focus on the 4% that will tell you why and that will be unhappy, because those people actually love what you do and are interested by what you do, but they just didn't like your solution, your service, or your product. So you need to talk to the unhappy people to find out what was wrong, if there was something missing, if they had a new feature or the quality was not good, any kind of thing. So you need to talk. You need to talk to your customers in order to find what they want, because at the end, you might think, you might make assumptions about what they want or what they like, but they are the one who know your product and are the one who will buy or use your product or service. So you need to talk to them and ask for honest feedback. And when I say honest feedback, don't ask your best friend or your mom or your father what they think about your product, because they're not going to be very honest. They're going to be very nice. So yeah, ask the unhappy customers what they think and tell them to be blunt.
I really love this advice. And I know you have a lot of successes and we'll discuss them in a minute, but I want you to tell us, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most. Can you share with us this?
That was like when we launched Grosshacker, it was just after a few months we had this, with this customer who wanted absolutely SEO. Search engine optimization. And because the thing is, there's like a lot of like SEO agencies that I'm not going to tell bad things about them, but they promise things that are impossible. They contact entrepreneurs that they tell them, okay, we're going to rank you on the first page of Google for so many keywords within 1 or 2 days or within 1 week. And the thing is, there was this entrepreneur who contacted us who absolutely wanted SEO. And we explained to him that there was more like a long-term strategy. And I don't know, maybe he didn't listen to us or maybe we didn't explain well enough. And anyways, we started to work with him on SEO. And I'm not lying, after one day, so it's like I can't remember which day it was, like on Monday, we started to work with him on SEO. On Tuesday, he sends me an email. He said, oh, can we have a Skype? So we have a Skype. He's like, I don't understand. You work for like a day and a half on SEO and our organic traffic didn't improve. And I was like, what? That's not how SEO works. It was like SEO takes, we explained to you, SEO takes a long time. It's going to take weeks and probably months to have like really quantified results. We told you that if you want like fast results, maybe social media or growth hacking might be better. So we hang up and he's like, okay, I give you time and everything. And 3 or 4 days, probably it's a Monday after or something. So same, we have a Skype. He's like, oh, I'm not happy with it. Organic traffic doesn't improve at all. And yes, that was a terrible experience. We stopped after a month with him because he just he thought SEO would take, within a day, we make some changes on his website and that's it. He will rank on the first page of Google for very complicated keywords. So that didn't work well at all. So that's where we understood that we need to explain exactly how strategies work, especially for SEO, and how long it will take, and make sure they agree with everything, and not start a contract with someone without them actually knowing what we are doing.
Wow. And now I would like you to tell us the story of your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or something that you did right about approaching your customer.
That's something I like to talk about. I don't know if it's the biggest success or anything. We worked last year in Taiwan. It's an organization who helps pets like dogs and cats who have been abandoned on the streets.
Oh.
So the thing is, yes, there's so many, especially cats, especially dogs. So there's like many wild dogs in Taiwan. I mean, it's not crazy, but there's just many because owners, they buy or they adopt a dog and then they abandon them. So that's pretty sad. So this this Taiwanese organization contacted us and we helped them with their websites, like to build a funnel on their websites. With Facebook ads, it was a WordPress website where we focus on the conversion and the content marketing with videos and everything to show how this organization helps those dogs. So we built a funnel for them, and in order to push Taiwanese pretty much to give donation and to help dogs. So that worked well. Now this charity is going pretty well. They get more and more donation. And what's important is before we help them, they didn't really have a strategy, so they get donation here and there, but without really a funnel, or without there was no consistency. And now they kind of have a consistency. They have like a loyalty program. They have like monthly donation, everything. So we implemented that for them, and that's we're happy because that really helps dogs. And that's I would say it's a really social things. So I'm proud with it. I'm happy with it.
It's a beautiful story. Jonathan, can you recommend the best or most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing or sales? There are so many tools out there. And the reason I'm asking this question is not to add another one to the endless list, but to find out what successful entrepreneurs are working with.
I will tell you two tools that are very different, if I can.
Sure.
One is really good. It's Zapier, Zapier. And that's a tool for automation. You can pretty much, thanks to this tool, you can automate tasks really easily. Let's say you have a new follower on Twitter, you could receive a notification on your emails from it. If you have a new follower on Instagram, you can send him a message directly. If you have someone signing up for your email list, you could connect your email list with Facebook. I don't know. Zapier is a great tool to automate different platforms together. So that's a great tool. Now, the second tool I want to tell you about, because you talk more about the customer focus, I would say Typeform. Typeform, it's a very easy way to create questionnaires. So if you want feedback from your users or from your customers or anything, it's a very simple tool to create questionnaires. So that's a great tool.
Typeform, that's great. As you said that today, actually you are very lucky that customers are coming to you. And I want to ask you if there was any point that you felt that you stopped chasing customers and started to attract them to you.
I would say it's more once you have been built a funnel. Funnels are very important. I'm going to explain maybe inbound marketing to your audience like this, so we'll understand more what kind of funnel I'm talking about. Let's say you create content. It could be blog posts. It could be videos. It could be ebooks. It could be pictures. I don't know, any kind of content. So you create your content, you put it on your website, or you put it on YouTube, or you put it on internet. Plus, here you have the content is the base. And then you have to share your content. You have to promote your content. So it could be the best ways, obviously, on social media. It could be Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. Even Snapchat, why not?
You mean paid advertisement?
Paid or not paid? No, actually, not obviously paid. I mean, if you use Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, or LinkedIn, you don't need to use ads. You can actually follow people. You can engage with people. So, for example, you can easily on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn, you can connect with people, tag people on your post, send them direct messages. So that's easy to connect with people and you don't need to use advertising. Facebook, on the other side, you need to use ads. Why? Because the Facebook algorithm keeps changing and they want companies to pay. So if you want your posts to be shown, you need to pay for ads. But if entrepreneurs are bootstrapped and have very little budget, I would say Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn are much better for very low budget. And then once you have promoted this content, that's just one phase. What you want is you want to generate leads from this content. You don't want, for example, let's say I create a website with a lot of people coming to my website. I don't want them to just come to my website. I want to go one step further. I want them to contact me. I want them to connect with me in some way. So what you have to do is maybe create a lead magnet or offering like a free ebook or a video. Or like a pop, you have a, you know, this pop-up, you go to a website, you have this pop-up form. Do you want to download my free ebooks? And what you want is people to give their email. If they're interested in what your product or your service, you want their email. And once you have their email, you can send them some like a sequence of email. It's called drip email marketing. So you send them a sequence of emails, maybe like one email a week or one email every 3 days. All this is kind of automated and people will contact you through emails, will contact you through social media. So the goal, the point where you don't really look for any clients anymore, even if you still somehow, it's once your funnel is pretty much done, once your funnel is ready, people come to you. You don't need to send cold emails or make cold calls anymore or connect with random people on LinkedIn. People will come to you. And that's, I would say, the key is to really create a funnel.
Beautiful. I love this answer. I think it's one of the times that I heard somebody really explaining and beautifully what inbound marketing is. There are a lot of things that affect success, but usually there is one thing that really major for each person, one thing that works for them. And I want to ask you, what is your most important factor that affected your successes? What is your key success factor?
My key success factor... I would say one, maybe nobody says, I would say luck. luck is a factor for many people, but I was saying this a few weeks ago to someone, as I said, but if you don't try, if you don't do things, you don't get lucky. And so we said luck is a part of it, but it's also because you can't be scared. You have, as an entrepreneur, I'm sorry, you have to go out there and try, like try your product, try your service, hustle. Mm-hmm. And more you hustle, luckier you get. So it's more, I would say the main factor is to not be scared. And by not being scared, you will get lucky.
And that's what affected you? That was the truth for you? What was your factor? It was not being scared?
It's for me. Yeah, I'm not scared. So all my life, we were saying at the beginning of the interview, you know, I've lived in 7 countries. And I did this because I really like to discover new cultures. I like to discover new people. Every time I did this was kind of a new challenge. So I really like those new challenge. And I would say in business is the same. And for me, it was the same in business. I had, when I started Growth Hackers, I couldn't be scared. I had to go out there. I left my startup, created Growth Hackers, go to network events, meet with entrepreneurs, tell what you do. So not being scared, really go full on, like go all, like if you play, I used to play poker like 10 years ago. So go all in. If you say some poker players would listen, go all in. You have to go all the way And that's why I did what I did, by going all the way and by not being scared. I got plus what I call luck, or you could be called opportunity, getting opportunities. But yeah, that's go out there all in and not being scared. That's what worked for me. That's what works for many people, I would say.
Wow. I would like to ask you, do you have any mountains? We talked about it, that actually to reach the place where customers know you and come to you, and when actually you got you build your brand and take ownership in the mind of your customers, it's like climbing a mountain, almost endless climbing.
Yeah. But
I want to ask you if there is any mountain that you climbed, or you wish to climb, or you dream to climb, physical mountains.
Well, actually, I do have connections with mountains, as where I'm from. I'm from Lyon in France, and actually we are an hour away from the Alps, an hour and a half away from the Alps. So I kind of grew up going to the mountains over the weekend. And with my travels and now living in Taiwan, there's one mountain I wish to climb one day. It's not far from Taiwan, it's in Japan, it's Mount Fuji. Why? Because Taiwan's really a popular destination for Taiwanese and people living in Taiwan is Japan. And climbing the Mount Fuji, it's a must-do in Japan. I've been twice to Japan, I've never climbed Mount Fuji, but I really want to do it.
Oh, that's beautiful. And Jonathan, I would like to thank you. It was such, you know, a different, a very practical. I think a lot of entrepreneurs will enjoy this, your interview and the things that you shared with them. And I also believe that a lot of them would like to make a contact with you. So can you please tell us what is the best way to connect with you?
Best way is definitely by email. My email is John is John at growthhackers.net. So growthhackers is growth, like minus growth minus hackers with an s.net. That's my email, but they can also contact me on LinkedIn or Twitter. It's really easy. So yeah, LinkedIn or by email is definitely the best way.
Okay, and we of course will put in the show notes of this interview all the links to the things and the tools that you talked about, and also to the ways that people can connect with you. And Jonathan, I would like to thank you so much for this very interesting conversation.
Thank you, Ayut, for inviting me. It was a great discussion. I really enjoyed your questions.
Thank you. I wish you just keep succeeding. It sounds great. I'll say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.